basically what I did is I looked at, in the book, Steps to Christ. Thank you, by the way, sister, for your prayer. I appreciate that. We went through the book of Steps to Christ, and I just looked up every time the word angel is used. And I didn't go through the other uses of the terms, for example, ministering spirit. I didn't look up instrumentality. I didn't look up channel or those things. I could do that in the future, but right now I just looked at the word angels or angel in Steps to Christ. And so I'm going to read those things. And I find it very interesting how that we can get some insight for what Sister White was saying in regard to angels in this small book, which of course we know was written only 4 years after 1888. It was actually published in 1892. So this book to me has a big and great significance, and I hope it does to you as well. So in page 13, it says, He, that's the Father, permitted Him, which is His Son, to leave the bosom of His love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. So I think it's interesting the very first time that we find the word angels used in Steps to Christ. We see there's the Father, there's the Son who left his bosom, the bosom of His love, and then there are angels. And I find it also interesting that in the book Revelation, chapter 3, I'm sorry, 14, and verse 10, that in the third angel's message, it talks about the wine of the wrath of God. That would be the Father. The reason I know it's the Father is because the presence of the Lamb is mentioned in that same verse. We know the Lamb is Jesus. So this verse, in Revelation 14, verse 10, the third angel's message talks about God and the Lamb. But there's one other group that it mentions. It actually talks about holy angels. So according to Revelation 14 and the third angel's message, we have God the Father, His Son, and holy angels. So I think that's important to understand because what we have is a description of who is in heaven, the Father, His Son, and angels. And so in Steps to Christ, as we go to the next option there, in the notes, it talks about Jacob. Jacob was sleeping, and there was a strange light that broke upon his vision. And lo, from the plain on which he lay, vast shadowy stairs seemed to lead upward to the very gates of heaven. And upon them, which are the stairs, angels of God were passing up and down, while from the glory above, the divine voice was heard in a message of comfort and hope. We know that's the Father, by the way. The Father spoke from above because Christ was the ladder. And so the Father was the one giving messages of comfort and hope. So thus was made known to Jacob that which met the need and longing of his soul. It was a Savior. And of course, that was described by the ladder. With joy and gratitude, he saw revealed a way by which he, a sinner, could be restored to communion with God. That's important to understand because he didn't have communion with God as a sinner. But now there's a way that communion with God has been restored. It says the mystic ladder of his dream represents Jesus, the only medium of communication between God and men. So Jesus is the only medium of communication. But watch what happens. The very next paragraph in page 19. This is the same figure to which Christ referred to when he said, You shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's John 1:51. In the apostasy, man alienated himself from God. Earth was cut off from heaven. It says, Across the gulf that lay between, there could be no communion, no communication. There was this gap that was made. There was man was cut off. But through Christ, it says, earth is again linked with heaven. With his own merits, Christ has bridged the gulf with sin that it had made, so that the ministering angels can hold communion with man. Christ connects fallen man in his weakness and helplessness with the source of infinite power. So I find that really interesting how that we can see, according to the writings of Sister White, that Christ is the one that has made heaven and earth connected. But what does he do? Angels of God ascend and descend from heaven to earth to keep that communion, to that communication open. I find that interesting. So now on page 21, oh, by the way, I want to show you something. If you turn in your Bibles to John 1, you'll go to the end of John 1, and you'll see that Christ talks to Nathanael. So what happens is in verse 48, Nathanael says to Philip, he says, let me go to verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said unto Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Well, Nathanael said unto him, well, from where do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Well, Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Because Nathanael was obviously extremely amazed at the fact that Christ had seen him under the tree, where he hadn't been there for some time. Obviously, Nathanael had been moving, coming toward Christ. And Christ was saying, I saw you before you came over here. Well, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto you, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. So now he's telling Nathanael he's going to see greater things. And then in verse 51, Jesus continues, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I like to think that Christ was able to understand that Nathanael was under the tree when Philip called him and he sent him over to Christ. And Nathanael was amazed. Well, he was wondering, how is it that you knew that I was there? I believe that Christ explained to Nathanael how it was that he was able to understand that he was under a tree. He said, you're going to see, you're going to understand. In fact, the word see right there means that your eyes will be opened and you will be gazing. So you're going to be able to, almost in shock and awe, you're going to be able to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So the obvious question is, Lord, how did you know that I was there? How did you know that I was under the tree? Well, Christ explains in that very context about angels ascending and descending. And right there in the Steps to Christ, and it was page 19, we saw that communion with man is opened. Christ has bridged the gulf which sin has made so that ministering angels can hold communion with man. How do they do that? They ascend and descend, right in this context, upon the ladder which is representing the Son of Man. So I happen to believe that, as mentioned right there by the study center, an angel from God told him. I believe that because that's the immediate context right there. And if you understand further about what Sister White talks about in regard to constant communication, if you look up that phrase in the writings of Ellen White, constant communication, you find that angels of God are ascending and descending, keeping earth in constant communication with the heaven above. That's a quote, actually. And so what we find is God is sending angels to communicate with you and with me. And I believe that is incredible. So as we continue on in Steps to Christ on page 21, it says, the heart of God yearns over his earthly children with a love stronger than death. In giving up his Son, he has poured out to us all heaven in one gift, the Savior's life, and death and intercession, the ministry of angels, the pleading of the Spirit, the Father working above and through all, the unceasing interest of heavenly beings are all enlisted in behalf of man's redemption. So here what's interesting is you have the Savior mentioned, you have his death and intercession, you have the ministry of the angels, then you have the pleading of the Spirit, and the Father working above. So you have the Father, the angels, the Spirit, and the Savior. I think I said the Savior instead of the Father. Let me say it again in order. You have the Savior, angels, the Spirit, and the Father. Now, what's fascinating, if you look up the Desire of Ages, and you find the section, page 671, where it talks about the office of the Spirit, and the Savior is in heaven above, and then you find that she says Christ is still the ministry or the minister of his church on earth. And it is, when you find that last phrase, it actually says through his inferior ministers. So Desire of Ages 671, and I think it's the second paragraph. And yeah, I'll read it to you because I don't have it in the notes here, but in describing to his disciples the office work of the Holy Spirit. So now this is the office work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sought to inspire them with the joy and hope that inspired his own heart. He rejoiced because of the abundant help he had provided for his church, which was the gift of his Spirit. We'll read that later in the last sentence of this paragraph. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that he could solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent. What's important to understand is the Spirit was a regenerating agent. What does she mean when she talks about an agent? So this idea of the Spirit being an agent is that God uses certain things. And like, for example, he uses you. You're considered an agent. He uses me. I'm considered an agent. He uses angels. Angels are considered an agent. He uses the Bible. The Bible is considered an agent, or his words. All these things are agents. And so the Holy Spirit here is mentioned as a regenerating agent. It's also important to understand when you're searching the writings of Ellen White, you should find the idea of what she says in regard to the Holy Spirit being an agency as well, not just an agent, but an agency. And so it continues on. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent. And without this, the sacrifice of Christ would be of no avail. The power of evil had been strengthening for centuries, and the submission of men to this satanic captivity was amazing. Notice, sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency, there's that word again, of the third person of the Godhead, who would come in no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. I think it's probably likely that most of you have done the study of the third person. We know who the third person is. The third person, in no question, is Christ. So it's the gift of his Spirit. The third person is the agency of that Spirit. That Spirit is a regenerating agent, as it says there in 671.2, which is the second paragraph. So if you read through that section there, we know that Christ is the one that gave his Spirit. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say it, the very last sentence of that paragraph. Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character upon his church. So the Holy Spirit that Christ gave, the who is it's the Spirit of Christ. But what is happening in the steps to Christ, and also many other places, including this word agency, when you study that, you find out the how of the Holy Spirit. Not the who, because we know the who is Christ, but the how is by the ministration of holy angels, and by you as an agent, and by his word as an agent. So let's look at that section again there in Steps to Christ, page 21, the second paragraph. The Savior's life and death and intercession, the ministry of angels, the pleading of the Spirit, which is that regenerating agent that God uses. Notice, watch this next sentence or part. The Father working above and through all. So what is the Spirit but the Father's Spirit through the Son? So really it's the Spirit of the Son, because it was his life experience as a human. So the Father working above, so above everything, and through all. Through all, what does that mean? It's through the agency of His Spirit. If the angels, even His Son, called a free agent, even the Word, the angels, all these things are agents in the agency of the Spirit, we have the Father working above and through all. So it's really the Father working through the Son accepting that work and then giving His gift, the gift of His Spirit to us. It's the Father working through all. So again, it all goes back to the Father through the Son. The Father through the Son. So what does this mean? The pleading of the Spirit? It's the Father's Spirit through the Son, which is the Comforter, which is the Parakletos in the Greek, only used five times, the last time in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, naming who the Parakletos is, or the Advocate or Comforter, which is Jesus Christ, the Righteous. So this idea of there being another entity or another being in heaven, because it mentions the Savior, the angels, the Spirit, and the Father. If you understand what Sister White is referring to when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's the Spirit of Christ, but it was the Spirit of the Father through Christ. And we know that the Spirit is an agency, then there is no problem with this section at all. It's not talking about for the Father, the Son, the angels, and the Spirit in heaven, or the Spirit and the angels, because some people would say the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That's how it comes in order, but that's not what she's saying here. I just want to make that very clear. Let's continue on, and unless somebody has a question, I'm going to see, I'll check back periodically here in this group. If you write a question, perhaps I'll be able to maybe help in answering. I'm not sure, because there's plenty I don't understand as well. But Steps to Christ 21.3, oh, let us contemplate the amazing sacrifice that has been made for us. Let us try to appreciate the labor and energy that heaven is expending to reclaim the lost and bring them back to the Father's house. Motives stronger and agencies more powerful could never be brought into operation. So motives stronger, we're talking about the love of the Father, right? He's the one that is expending his all of heaven, all of the energy in heaven to win the lost. So those are the motives. It's love. Motives stronger and agencies more powerful. That would be, of course, the help of the Holy Spirit, which is an agency that has within it the agents of humans and angels, etc., could never be brought into operation. The exceeding rewards for right doing, the enjoyment of heaven, the society of angels, the communion and love of God and His Son, the elevation and extension of all our powers throughout eternal ages, are these not mighty incentives and encouragements to urge us to give the heart's loving service to our Creator and Redeemer? So here again, right after it mentions in 21.2, it talks about the Savior, the angels, the Spirit, and the Father. In the very next paragraph, it talks about the agencies, it talks about the angels, the Son, and the Father. So it really doesn't continue that thought of the Holy Spirit being some kind of separate entity. So I think that's very important to understand, because it seems the Father and the Son can be well understood if you're studying the writings of Ellen White. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit and you get this idea of the third person coming in, if you don't understand the idea of the third person being the representative, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the agency, the agent, and all those things combined, and understand how Sister White is referring to those thoughts and those words, it can be somewhat confusing. So that's what my study about the angels has done, is it's helped me understand the idea of an agency and there being agents and those that are used by God through His Spirit, which, of course, I'm not going to explain much more about that, but I'm just going to continue reading here. Steps to Christ 22.1. Shall we not regard the mercy of God? What more could He do? Let us place ourselves in right relation to Him who has loved us with an amazing love. Let us avail ourselves of the means provided for us that we may be transformed into his likeness and be restored to fellowship with the ministering angels, to harmony and communion with the Father and the Son. And you can see right after it was mentioning the four, the Savior, the angels, the Spirit, and the Father, it then mentions in the next paragraph, the angels, the agencies, the Father and his Son. And then right here in this next paragraph, I don't know if it's the very next one, but it is really close, 22.1 to compared to 21.3. It talks about the angels, the Father, and his Son. So I think it's really neat that Steps to Christ makes it so clear that we have an agency, which is the Holy Spirit, and we have the Father, the Son, and the angels. So it says there in 23.3 of Steps to Christ, Balaam, he was terrified by the angel standing in his pathway with drawn sword. He acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. So what happened here? Balaam was going the wrong direction. And so God was trying to impress him with one of the agents in the agency of his spirit. And what was it, or who was it? It was an angel that came out with a drawn sword. So the angel was there as a representative, yes, the word representative, or an, what do you say, I can't remember that word. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, an ambassador, there it is. So the angel was an ambassador for God, standing there as an agent, or one of the representatives, and the angel was there with a message. You can't go here, you shouldn't go here, and don't kick the donkey, right? And so it seems that, according to the Bible, we have the angel as an agent in the agency of the Holy Spirit. And remember, Ellen White in this book itself has already used the word agent and agencies. So now in our reading here, like I said, I haven't read the other terms that she uses in regard to those things, but I will do further study in this book. This is just what I collected for this study here. Now, so as we continue on in 52.2 of Steps to Christ, there is a very important sentence. It says this, they must have his grace. His grace is the Spirit of Christ to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. So they must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. That's important to know, because what she's saying here is the word grace is defined right here as the Spirit of Christ. So then the next paragraph is important to understand as well, because it says, here is where thousands fail. They do not believe that Jesus pardons them personally or individually. They do not take God at his word. It is the privilege of all who comply with the conditions to know for themselves that pardon is freely extended for every sin. Put away the suspicion that God's promises are not meant for you, because they are. They are for every repentant transgressor, if in fact you meet that condition. So notice this sentence here. This is really important. Strength and grace. We know from the previous paragraph that grace is the Spirit of Christ. Strength and grace have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul. So wait a minute. Strength and grace, grace being the Spirit of Christ, strength and the Spirit of Christ have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul? Yes, exactly. That's what the book is saying. None are so sinful that they cannot find strength, purity, and righteousness in Jesus who died for them. He is waiting to strip them of their garments, stained and polluted with sin, and to put upon them the white robes of righteousness. He bids them live and not die. So Jesus, by the way, let me comment on that. Yes, it is saying that the Spirit of Christ is brought through Christ by ministering angels. Now, why is that important? Well, remember, it's not about the who, because we know the who of the third person or the Spirit, the Comforter. That's Jesus Christ. We know it's His life, and it was the Father's life living out through His life. So it's the Father and the Son combined, their ministry, their desire, their will, their character, all those loving, lovely things. But what we see is here the how. So how do we get the Spirit of Christ? It is by ministering angels to every believing soul. If you don't understand that yet, please ask questions. Feel free to study. I've got lots of studies in the link that I provided there. Angel Studies with Daniel Mesa from RevelationWithDaniel.com. That will help you understand at least some things about the agency of the Holy Spirit and how He uses, or God uses, angels in that agency. So notice Steps to Christ 73.2. Jesus, the Savior, who had walked and talked and prayed with them, who had spoken hope and comfort for or to their hearts, had, while the message of peace was still upon His lips, been taken up from them into heaven, and the tones of His voice had come back to them. As the cloud of angels received Him, He said, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world." So angels are the ones that actually brought Christ from earth to heaven. And do you know that the Bible teaches in, I think if I remember this one correctly, Psalm 68, verse 17. Let's see. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. This is not the one I was thinking of. It must be in Psalm 18. But it refers to God riding upon a cherub. I'll read it for you as soon as I find it here. Yep, here it is. In Psalm 18, it's talking about God the Father. If you read the context, He comes down during the time Christ is on the cross. It says, verse 9, "He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet." It says in verse 10, "And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind." And so, according to Psalm 18, the Father in the context rode upon a cherub, just as we see Christ was riding upon cherubs or cherubims to go into heaven. And I don't know how to describe that except that God is honored by being taken by the cherubim. He's honored by being lifted and carried, just like the Pope is honored when he's lifted and carried. I've asked the question in the past, can the Pope walk? And you're like, yeah. Well, why doesn't he in those great processions? Well, it's because he's being honored. In the situation of Christ and His Father, the angels are carrying them in a way to honor them. So I just think that's incredible, what the Bible teaches there. So now, Steps to Christ 77.2. Our Savior's joy was in the uplifting and redemption of fallen man. For this He counted not His life dear unto Himself, but endured the cross, despising the shame. So angels are ever engaged in working for the happiness of others. Just like Christ worked for others, angels are working for others. This is their joy. That which selfish hearts would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank, is the work of sinless angels. The Spirit of Christ's self-sacrificing love is the Spirit that pervades heaven and is the very essence of its bliss. This is the Spirit that Christ's followers will possess, the work that they will do. And of course, it's Christ's self-sacrificing love that is the Spirit that pervades heaven. Again, it's not a third entity. It's the Spirit of Christ. That's what we're talking about there. So that's the spirit of these sinless angels. They have that same love that Christ was able to give. And so it says in 79.2, God might have committed the message of the gospel and all the work of loving ministry to the heavenly angels. He might have employed other means for accomplishing His purpose, but in His infinite love, He chose to make us co-workers with Himself. We're talking about God the Father. With Christ and the angels, that we might share the blessing, the joy, the spiritual uplifting which results from this unselfish ministry. What is this saying? Except that there are the Father, Christ, and the angels that we work with. Now it says he could have just chose angels, but he didn't just choose angels. He chose us to work with him. And so this us working with him means that we are working with himself, with Christ, and with angels. The Father and the Son are in heaven. And by the Spirit, Christ is here on earth. What is the Spirit but an agency? And what is this agency except angels within the agency? And when you work with Christ as a repentant sinner, you become one of the agents as well. And so these three powers, himself, that's the Father, Christ, and the angels, are the ones that are to work with us for the purpose of winning souls and having this loving ministry that's going out and reaching others. So it says there, and like I said, if there's any questions, I keep checking back in the comments section, and I don't see any questions, so I'm just going to continue believing that you're with me. If not, you think I'm a heretic, let me know. I want to understand, because maybe I'm missing something, and I need to learn more. I'm fine with that. I don't claim to have all truth. I'm just a student that's finding things and trying to reveal what I'm finding. So 81.4, it says, ministering angels attended the Lord of life as he walked side by side with peasants and laborers, unrecognized and unhonored. So ministering angels, it talks about angels plural, it's not singular. That's why it's important that Desire of Ages, page 831.2 says, the most exalted of the angel throng. They were the two of them, who had come to the tomb at Christ's resurrection, and they had been with him throughout his life on earth. So Christ had at least two angels with him throughout his life on earth. And it was those angels that wanted to take Christ to heaven, as that group in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 took Christ to heaven. But these two angels, if you read the context of the Desire of Ages, they chose not to come to with Christ to heaven. They chose to stay back and bring messages and blessings of comfort and hope to the disciples. That is incredible. What a selfless, loving ministry that the angels have, the holy angels, because of course there are other angels that we know that they are not the ones in selfless labor. There's a note here. It's a nice thought that God's family on earth is one with the heavenly family. Amen. And that's what I believe Matthew 28, verse 19 is talking about. When we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Father and the Son, those are familial terms. Those are terms of Father and Son. That means the Father has a Son and the Son has a Father. And that's family. And so I believe when we're baptized, we're brought into that family, that royal family, Sister White calls it, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord. So 88.3, the theme of redemption is one that the angels desire to look into. It will be the science and the song of the redeemed throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Is it not worthy of careful thought and study now? The infinite mercy and love of Jesus, the sacrifice made in our behalf, call for the most serious and solemn reflection. We would dwell upon the character of Redeemer and Intercessor. We should meditate upon the mission of Him who came to save His people from their sins. As we thus contemplate heavenly themes, our faith and love will grow stronger, and our prayers will be more and more acceptable to God, because they will be more and more mixed with faith and love. They will be intelligent and fervent. They will be more constant. There will be more constant confidence in Jesus and a daily living experience in His power to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. And this is the kind of activity that the angels desire to look into. And I do too. I want to understand better what it is that God is doing and what He's saying. And so that's why we continue to study, continue to learn, continue to be ministered to by the Father, the Son, and the angels in the agency of the Holy Spirit. So 91.1, Never should the Bible be studied without prayer. That's why we started this meeting with prayer, and we'll end also with prayer. Before opening its pages, we should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and it will be given. When Nathanael came to Jesus, the Savior exclaimed, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." John 1:47-48. And Jesus will see us also in the secret places of prayer, if we will seek him for light, that we may know what is truth. Notice the very next sentence. Angels from the world of light will be with those who in humility of heart seek for divine guidance. You will know if you study that God sends his holy angels to educate us when we study his word. They are angels of light. They bring light to our darkened minds. And if we are willing to receive that light, we will be enlightened. We are educated. We are blessed with the holy oil that is poured from themselves, from the angels, into the hearts of those that are either sharing or studying. And you can read that if you go into Zechariah chapter 4. But here, what it's saying is, Christ will be with those, and he will see us, rather, in the secret places of prayer. And then, how does she apply that? Angels from the world of light will be with those who in humility of heart seek for divine guidance. Now, what do I mean? Well, in that link that I sent you, you'll be able to see constant communication would be one, but holy angels in the plan of redemption, influence of the Spirit, ministering spirits, there's, in fact, quite a few of them that will help. Oh, recording angels, that's the one I was thinking of. When you're looking at the recording angels, you find that they will record every single thing that we do at all times. And that's what's brought into the judgment. And that's whereby we are judged. So right now you might be looking at something other than the computer, which is fine, but that's being recorded down by angels. You might be distracted by something other than what's being said, and perhaps that's okay for a moment, but if the truth is coming, if the truth is coming to us and we're being distracted on purpose, we're allowing our minds to be confused or distracted, whatever, those things are written down. Our motives, our thoughts, our feelings, all that is being written down by angels all around us. And so that's how God is communicating with heaven and earth, is through the ministration of angels. Continue to study. You will find, if you read all those things that I've posted up there, and I've got many, many more notes, those are the ones that I've shared so far. These are the things that God has taught us in this idea of the angels being working with Christ and God. So now I'm going to go down to page 94.1. Our Heavenly Father waits to bestow upon us the fullness of his blessing. It is our privilege to drink largely at the fountain of boundless love. What a wonder it is that we pray so little. God is ready and willing to hear the sincere prayer of the humblest of his children. By the way, angels are the ones that take our prayers up to heaven and even bring the prayers, the answered prayers, down to earth. And yet there is much manifest reluctance on our part to make known our wants to God. What can the angels of heaven think of poor, helpless human beings who are subject to temptation when God's heart of infinite love yearns toward them, ready to give them more than they can ask or think, and yet they pray so little and have so little faith? The angels love to bow before God. They love to be near him. It says they regard communion with God as their highest joy, and yet the children of earth, who need so much the help that God only can give, seem satisfied to walk without the light of his Spirit, the companionship of his presence. And so I'll tell you, when God answers our prayers, most often he sends the angels back and forth from heaven to earth to hear our prayers, because they report our prayers, and he also sends them to bless us with the answers to prayers. That's why it says in, I think it's Signs of the Times, all the blessings from God to man are through the ministration of holy angels. And so when the angels are wondering, like, why don't they pray more? I could help them with all the boundless help that I have from God for them, but they're not praying. And so that's why angels are amazed that it's not as it should be with our prayer. Here's a comment here. So we need to be self-searching to see if we have the right thoughts, so the angels have good reports to bring to heaven. Absolutely. You will find, if you keep studying about this idea of angels reading the motives, etc., reading the mind, reading the heart, they're the ones that take down your motives. They write those things down, and they will be taken up to heaven. Recording angels. So now what's interesting about that thought is, angels can read our thoughts, holy angels can, but she says very clearly that evil angels cannot read our thoughts. Somehow there's a break in the communion between those that have sinned and those that have repented of their sin. So remember, Isaiah 59 verse 2 says that there is, your sin has separated you from God. That sin separates us. How? From communion, from the ability to communicate, for us to hear him and he really to hear us, because he won't hear the prayers of those that are rebellious, as well we know in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. So just another interesting thought. I'll go to page 119. All this is harming your soul, for every word of doubt you utter is inviting Satan's temptations. It is strengthening in you the tendency to doubt, and it is grieving from you the ministering angels. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It is grieving from you the ministering angels. What are the angels bringing? They're bringing the atmosphere of heaven. They're bringing the, let's see if I can recall here, the influence of the Spirit. That's what they bring. And so if they're bringing the atmosphere of heaven and the influence of the Spirit to us, and we're grieving from us, the ministering angels, because of our doubts and our words of discouragement, what are we grieving? We're grieving the Spirit of God through the ministration of holy angels. Very interesting. So when Satan tempts you, breathe not a word of doubt or darkness. If you choose to open the door of his suggestions, your mind will be filled with distrust and rebellious questions, or questioning. If you talk out your feelings, every doubt you express not only reacts upon yourself, but it is a seed that will germinate and bear fruit in the life of others. And it may be impossible to counteract the influence of your words. You yourself may be able to recover from the season of temptation and from the snare of Satan, but others who have been swayed by your influence may not be able to escape from the unbelief that you have suggested. How important that we speak only those things that will give spiritual strength and life. Notice, angels are listening to hear what kind of report you are bearing to the world about your heavenly master. Why are they listening? It's because they are here taking records. That's what Steps to Christ teaches. Let your conversation be of him who liveth to make intercession for you before the Father. When you take the hand of a friend, let praise to God be on your lips and in your heart, which the heart is your mind. This will attract your friend's thoughts to Jesus. Isn't that important to be able to understand that we, as it says here, need to learn to think faith and talk faith? Absolutely, that's exactly what it's saying. We don't want to talk discouragement, because that brings discouragement to others. And it sows the seeds of Satan, not of God. Then the redeemed, it says on page 126, then the redeemed will be welcomed to the home that Jesus is preparing for them. There, their companions will not be the vile of earth, the liars, the idolaters, the impure, the unbelieving, but they will associate with those who have overcome Satan, and through divine grace, remember, grace comes by the ministration of holy angels, they have formed perfect characters. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection that afflicts them here has been removed by the blood of Christ, and the excellence and brightness of his glory, far exceeding the brightness of the sun, is imparted to them. And the moral beauty, the perfection of character, shines through them, in worth far exceeding this outward splendor. They are without fault before the great white throne, sharing the dignity and the privileges of angels. So again, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and angels being in heaven. The Spirit is mentioned, but remember what the Spirit is. The Spirit is an agency of the Father through the Son, because the Father worked through the Son the entire time while he was here on the earth. So it says on page 126, and we're at the end now, this is our last paragraph. The soul redeemed and cleansed from sin, with all its noble powers dedicated to the service of God, is of surpassing worth. So the soul redeemed and cleansed is of surpassing worth. There is joy in heaven in the presence of God and the holy angels over one soul redeemed, a joy that is expressed in songs of holy triumph. So I think Steps to Christ has plenty to say about the ministration of holy angels. And it actually explains, not in detail, it's a very short, small book, but it does explain in detail enough to help us understand how they're working, how God works with them, how we're to work with them, how they are part of the agency, or they are agents within the agency of the Holy Spirit, and they are used by God. They are the ones that inhabit heaven along with the Father and the Son. They are here with us. They are recording. They are watching us, all these things. It's because they want to serve us. They wonder why we don't pray. They bring to us the Spirit of Christ and strength from heaven. They are there with the Father and the Son, waiting to hear the commands from the Father through the Son, and they will do the ministry that God has asked them to do. Just like in Psalm 91, verse 11, which has become one of my favorite verses, it says that He, that's God, will give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So think about that for a minute. God says to an angel, "Angel, I give you charge over my child. It is up to you. You are responsible to keep my child from being harmed or from morally falling." That's what Ellen White says as well. And the angel says, "Yes, Lord." And the angel comes down. That angel puts his wings around you and will not allow a single thing to approach you or to attack or hurt you if you're willing to fall under the influence of that spirit, which is a holy spirit. The angels are holy. The angels are spirits. They are holy spirits, but they are not the Holy Spirit. I want to make that very clear. The angels are not the Holy Spirit, but they are holy and they are spirits. There's a difference there. Don't get confused. But when God sends His angels to have charge concerning you, you can know that you are protected and you are blessed. Think about the tree in the Garden of Eden. Could anyone or anything approach that tree with angels protecting? The answer is no. Not a single thing was able to receive eternal life from eating that tree, the fruit from that tree. And it's because angels had been given charge over that tree to protect it from anybody approaching. And so I like the idea that angels have been given charge over me. And I like the fact that they are excelling in strength and they are powerful. I don't worship the angels, but I do appreciate now more, having studied what they do, that they are ministering with and for me. So thank you all so much for this time. And like I said, if there are any questions, please feel free to ask or to communicate with me perhaps further in the future. Father, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to learn a little bit more about how you minister and what your angels are doing in the book Steps to Christ. I pray that you would guide and lead us, that we can understand more and we can be blessed and led by your Spirit, and we can be given the opportunities more fully to understand, so that we can not only be more Christian in our experience, but we'll be able to share with others and we can educate them as well. Thank you for the ministry that we have learned a little bit more about today. Continue to guide and keep us, we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.